This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, and this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. You know, Todd, I always find it refreshing that when we have a guest on that they call in on time. Don't you find that, Todd, to be refreshing?
I do.
Compared to the previous half hour where they just think they're so self-important they can just change the time willy-nilly. Keith? Great to have you with us. We're kidding about a guy that used to work here. It was supposed to be on in the opening half hour. He moved it back 90 minutes. So we're just kidding about it. Welcome. Great to have you on the show. See, it's great to deal with a real pro like you.
Yeah. I thought y'all were like making a pit joke. Like this idiot Pompey wants the pit. Let's get him.
No. This guy earned it. This guy earned it. All right, so the Sixers. I'm not surprised they're out after round one with Embiid's injuries and everything and the matchup itself. But now they have to move forward from here. So you're advising Daryl Morey. What kind of advice would you give him?
It's funny. My advice would be, try to build a roster, a sustainable roster. It seems like right now Daryl Morey is trying to go star hunting, and the Sixers did that beforehand. And, my thing is, I look at a team like the New York Knicks, and again, I know that Julius Randle was hurt, but I look at that and I see all the role players, and they have a roster, they have a team. And I feel like that's what the 76ers need to do. And that's my advice to Daryl Morey. Just because you won star hunting, you got James Harden. How did that work out? Before that, you guys had Jimmy Butler, and then you decided you didn't want him. You went out and you got Al Horford. How did that work out? To me, the 76ers, what they need to do is, you have Maxey, think that he can be a star. You need to build a roster around him and Embiid. That's my advice for Daryl Morey.
See, and I totally agree with that, Keith, because I feel like they spend more time trying to do the one quick fix when they need to be smart about who they bring in and what role they play to make the stars and enhance them more.
Exactly. I mean, and again, I keep trying to go back to the Knicks, but you look at it and you said you find out the Knicks believed in Jalen Brunson before no one else did, and they believed in him so much. To where they got two guys who play extremely well with them, who played extremely well with them in college. And these were two guys who, let's face it, they were journeymen. They were NBA journeymen. And you work out, and that's just how it works. And I feel like, you try to go to star hunting, you try to win everything in the summertime. And, yeah, that's great. But, I mean, do you want to end up and be like the Phoenix Suns where they had, three max-level players, three all-NBA caliber players, and they were swept in the first round.
Exactly. I realized that starting, really with the Spurs, when they had Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan, everyone felt you had to have three. And then, of course, the Heat followed that up with their three with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. And three seemed to be the magic number to have. And I feel like the Sixers have been trying to duplicate that three ever since, and they can't.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. And the funny part about it is, when you talk about Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan, you look at the personalities of all these guys. All three of them weren't like me guys. Look at me.
Right.
And not only that, Ginobili said, let me come off the bench. It's not working. Okay, you want me to come off the bench? I'll do that, and I'll be able to get my minutes. When you look at the average NBA player nowadays, huh? Come off the bench? Come on, nah. I don't do that.
Right.
But when you look at it and you say, you know, to the Sixers, you know, and everybody wants to get this star hunting, you know, it just doesn't work out. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good. But when you thought about it, you looked at it, you know, what was it? Last year they had James Harden. You had Tobias. You had Joel. You had Maxie. Well, all of a sudden, Tobias wasn't happy with his role, right? Because he felt like he should have been that guy. Then you had Ben Simmons and you had Joel. And the argument was, well, whose team is it? I mean, is it Ben's? Is it Joel's? So, you know, I just feel like if you are going to do it, you have to get the right personalities. But right now, there's too much money involved in regards to marketing and all this other things to where guys don't basically say, I'll take a back seat and let you be the guy. Everyone wants to be the man, especially when you do these superpower teams.
All right, Embiid. He's incredibly talented. He's made a ton of money, and I feel awful for him because injuries have just derailed this guy left and right. So where do you think he stands right now? And the Bell's palsy diagnosis was another one that threw a big curve into it. I mean, when you look at him, his age, his size, how much more can the Sixers expect out of him over the next 3 to 4 years?
No, I think that's it. Like, I think the next 3 to 4 years is his window, right? I mean, first, if I'm the 76ers, what I'm doing is I'm saying to him, you know, I'm sending a dietitian to the house. We're throwing all the meats and all this stuff out, and we're putting you on a new diet. And the reason why I'm saying that is because over the next 3 to 4 years, in order for you to play at an optimal level, you're going to have to shed some pounds. I'm not saying that he's fat, but what I'm saying is he needs to do what Tim Duncan did after he had knee problems.
Yeah.
Slim down. You know, because, like you said it, you know, here's the problem with Embiid, the whole Embiid situation. If you take Embiid off this team is a lottery team, is a struggling team, even with Tyrese Maxey, right? So he makes them that much better. But because of his knee history and everything like that and all his injuries, and the fact that he has yet to play more than 63 games in a season, it's one of those things where you're not going to get a lot of value for him. So the best thing that you can do if you want to continue to win and not rebuild is say, hey, look, Joel, the next 3 or 4 years, you have to be in the best shape of your life in order for us to be able to compete. Outside of that, you're going to have another season where he's on his shelf when you need him to play because of the reoccurring knee injuries and all these other things. So, to me, I think the next 3 years is kind of like, you know, I can't live with him, I can't live without him, but at the same time, if I'm going to live with him, he's going to have to be in the optimum shape in order for us to be competitive because, you know, after that, unfortunately, I don't know if Joel's going to be a guy that's going to be around the league another 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's too much, and you're right. He's not fat, but he also needs to be about 10 to 15 pounds lighter because his body can't handle that weight 82 times a year. The next part is Maxey. You've watched him closely, Keith. What has allowed him to emerge and become a player that other teams have to put it near the top of the scouting report?
Well, the first thing is two things. Tyrese Maxey is blessed with quickness. Like, I mean, you know, he's the type of guy, he has a quick first step. You know, you look at it and you're saying, dang, are you wasting this on basketball? Maybe you should be playing football, or maybe you should be playing and running track and field. Like, he's that fast, right?
Yeah.
But I also think the thing that enabled him, to be honest with you, and I always try to use him as an example for my daughter who plays like volleyball, is work ethic. You know, I mean, you know, Tyrese Maxey is a guy, I remember his rookie year, he was always out there working, always. And these should sound corny because he's like, I got to get 1% better tomorrow and this and that. But when you look at it, you see how he's ascended from being going to training camp as the third-string guard, third-string combo guard, like shooting guard, to now he's an all-star a performer scoring 46 points. You know, it has to be, it's because of his work ethic. He's gotten better and better each time he goes out there. Like, each, you know, from the beginning of his rookie year to the end of his rookie year, he was the best, better player. And then the next, going into the next training camp, he was even better, and vice versa. So we can all say, yes, he's a better three-point shooter now. You know, his defense has gotten a little bit better. His command of an offense is better. But all that comes from his work ethic and the time that he spends in the gym. So to me, that's what enables him to get where he is. But you can't also discount that speed. I mean, he's able on the open floor. You know, he's hard to stop because he's just going to blow by you.
What's the reaction in the city to what the Sixers are right now?
You know, it's weird because, you know, I think there are some people who look at it like they see what Joel Embiid did, and they're saying to themselves, what a great performance by Joel. He gutted it out. Yeah, and we got a lot of cap space next year, and you know, we can make a lot of things work. We have some draft picks. But then there are some other people who are more like, here we go again. We hired Daryl Morey. They said he was going to come here, and he was going to, like, at least get us to the Eastern Conference Finals. But yet again, is another season where the team came up short. So I think it's divided. You know, you have the optimists who look at what Joel Embiid did was nothing short of remarkable. And then you have the other people who are the realists and say, you know, we still haven't gotten out of the second or advanced beyond the second round since 2001, and here we go again. Like, every year is like, next year is going to be the year. So I think it's kind of split and it's kind of divided in the way that the people in the city are feeling right now.
All right. You look, I've got to ask you about Minnesota and Denver, because Denver, defending champions, they know what it takes to win 16 times in late April, May, and into June. The T-Wolves spent most of the season as the one seed. Didn't have Rudy Gobert last night. What's your thought on why, to this point, Minnesota has matched up the way they have with Denver?
Well, when you kind of look at Minnesota, too, even though, you know, they have, like, top draft picks and everything like that, and they have, like, they got Rudy Gobert, another guy who garnered a lot of money, I think there's two things that stand up. Well, great draft picks, and another thing is, if you look at it, they have a quality team, and everyone knows their role. And the third thing, I think, is the will to win, the toughness. I think that when you have Anthony Edwards, you know, he comes in there, he's a vocal leader. He's not like the arrogant guy that says, I'm going to take over, I'm going to do this. He encourages everyone else. But I think they follow his lead. You know, even Kat, everyone, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, talking about Kat, they all follow his lead. And they just bring a gritty edge. I mean, you look at it, you're right. Denver, you know, they're the defending champions. But you couldn't tell who was the team who, you know, had not a lucky season, but the team that divide expectations like Minnesota did in the regular season, or who was the veteran team who won the championship last year. Like, you would swear it was Minnesota.
That's
and
right.
I just saw how they just had determination and grit, and that's why they're so good.
I mean, the bottom line is, to me, Minnesota's been playing, at least in two games, tremendous defense. They've really locked Denver down. Right, you just took a long look at the Knicks. The Knicks are very connected. They don't have Julius Randle, as you pointed out. Why are they as good as they are?
It's because I think that it's they're defensive minded coach. They're gritty, and they all like. I mean, they bring a blue collar network. I mean, a blue collar work ethic to it. I mean, when you talk to people, and it's weird. I remember I had a conversation with PJ Tucker, and we would talk about the difference of a team that wins a championship. He says a championship team is buy-in. There's no egos. You have to buy in, which means is you may not get X amount of shots on one particular day, but you got to grab offensive rebounds. You got to defend hard. You got to do that. You look at these guys on the New York Knicks. If we were playing one-on-one, most of them would lose. But then you see Hartenstein grabbing these offensive boards in key moments of the game. You know, instead of taking it back up, which most guys would do because you want to get that bucket, you're finding the open three-point shooter, locating them. So I think that the difference is, and it's the same thing with Minnesota. I mean, what they do is you got a lot of guys who are selfless, and their goal is to win a championship. There's a lot of sacrificing that has to go on, and that's the difference between a championship team and just a good, great contending squad.
And the right guy at the right time is important. A lot was made of the Celtics getting Kristaps Porzingis in the offseason. And that's, let's face it, the Celtics have pretty much at most positions the same kind of guy. Porzingis gave them somebody different. But the unheralded one is Jrue Holiday. And before they played Game 5 against Miami, he pulled everybody aside and basically flashed the championship of, hey, I've been there, done this. Close these people out now. Don't lollygag. You want the time off. The Sixers don't have that guy in the locker room.
No, they don't. I mean, you have Kyle Lowry, but he's a little bit older, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Nick Nurse did it, but you are right. I mean, the thing is, when you're playing at a high level and you can do things, it's different from being a guy who was the guy a couple years ago, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Like,
Jrue Holiday is still doing that. And then the thing about Jrue, you know, it's like, you know, and he's the quintessential one of a champion. You know, when he was in Philly, he was the man, right? You know, he was an all-star. We knew he could play on the ball, off the ball. But he goes back to that thing that we were talking about. You give up yourself for the team. And that's what he does. He D's people up. If you need him to make a shot, he'll make it. But his number one purpose is, you know what, I could care less about all that. I'm all about helping the team. And that's what it is. You're right. He pulled them all together. Yep. And for that, they respect him.
Yep.
They'll always respect them.
That's right. See, you just hit the big word, the respect. When certain people talk, everybody in the room looks up. You know what? For a pit guy, you're pretty darn good. You know?
Yeah.
Hey,
look, I don't want to make y'all laugh, and I don't want to go real long-winded, right? But I'm just going to tell you this. So my family is all pit people, right?
Right.
And my uncle was a pit grad. My cousin went to pit. He was like, you have to go to Pitt. So I have two twin cousins who graduated from Penn State. So I said to my uncle, who's a Pitt guy, I said, Unc, how did you send them to Penn State, but you made me go to Pitt? You made my cousins go to Pitt, all this and that. He said, well, if you would have had a full scholarship to Penn State, you would have been a Nittany Lion.
It's amazing how that works out. If I got a full scholarship to Kansas State, I wouldn't have gone. You know, so I got it.
Yeah. But it was funny, though. He was like, you know, we are. And I'm like, you are what? You told me Pitt. He was like, hey, they got full rides, bro. They got full rides.
Okay. We are debt-free.
Yep.
Hey, you're great, Keith. I really appreciate you so much. Thanks a lot for this. Always enjoy talking hoops.
All right, thanks, man. I really appreciate being on the show.
Anytime, Keith. The outstanding Keith Pompey. He is terrific. All right, Neil Coulong, next half hour. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.